Srila Vyasadeva is the empowered plenipotent incarnation of the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. He descended by his causeless mercy to deliver the fallen souls in the material world. The fallen and forgotten souls are detached from the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The living entities are parts and parcels of the Lord, and they are eternally servitors of the Lord. All the Vedic literatures, therefore, are put into systematic order for the benefit of the fallen souls. And it is the duty of the fallen souls to take advantage of such literatures and be freed from the bondage of material existence. Although formally, Sri Narada Rishi is his spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva is not at all dependent on a spiritual master, because in essence he is the spiritual master of everyone else. But because he is doing the work of an acharya, he has taught us by his own conduct that one must have a spiritual master, even though he be God himself. Lord Sri Krishna, Lord Sri Ram, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all incarnations of Godhead, accepted formal spiritual masters. Although by transcendental nature they were cognizant of all knowledge, in order to direct people in general to the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, he himself in the incarnation of Vyasadeva is delineating the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastatyade Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this whole chapter's explaining the need for taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So, first of all, the whole process of devotional service is set around three things. That's Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. That, you know, it's impossible to perform devotional service without the combination of these three things. And sometimes we may prioritize one over the other, but they're all important. Satam prasangam mamavirya samvido bhajanti ritkana rasayanakata. So it's saying that, you know, we get taste from devotional service by hearing about Krishna in the association of devotees. And by that process, we become eventually purified and attached to devotional service. And that devotional service is actually always in the association of other devotees. He said we actually perform real devotional service at that point when all our misgivings have been cleared away, our misunderstandings. Devotional service is performed before that more or less in a mechanical way under the instructions of a bona fide guru. But this carries on after purification, that the guru is always there. And the disciple is more spontaneous in his devotional service. This service starts to take the form of following in a particular mood of a very close devotee of Lord Krishna. But all the way along in devotional service, there's always, you know, padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There's danger at every step. Maya's not letting, you know, letting up for one moment. You know, even when we get to the stage of so-called spontaneous devotional service, unless we follow that process of spontaneous devotional service properly, then we'll be misled. And eventually a little bit of deviation, it may be just a little bit, it's not so bad. But then it just like, it becomes what they call it, exponential, is it? It can a little bit, becomes very fast. And so these three, the point is these three things are very important. Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. So, you know, we can't fail to be successful in devotional service if we just do this simple thing. Whatever we hear, we'll eventually do. And if we have those three things, then we're always, we have a cross check to make sure we're actually well situated. Which is the most important? Guru, Shastra and Sadhu. This, anyway, you know, they're all important. Eh? Shastras. Shastra. Any advances on Shastra? I mean, this is Prabhupada. He performed that pastime where he said they hadn't gone to the moon. I've told the story before, and his disciple, that was the final straw. His disciple his servant. He wasn't so strong in Krishna consciousness, and he was having some doubts. And when he heard that, he thought, that's too much. And so he left the movement, and then afterwards Prabhupada spoke to some of his senior men. He said, I couldn't understand him leaving because he didn't believe me, as, you know, a sadhu or a guru. But, you know, how can he not believe Shastra? And so in that respect, Shastra is the, you know, the benchmark. But then again, we said we have the, you know, Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta. That, you know, unless we follow the path of the Mahajans, that we can't be successful either. Because what will we do? Talk or Pratishtha. We'll just have dry arguments, not backed up by any, you know, living authority or practical authority who's applying it. Talk or Pratishtha. The Shastras are many branched. How can we just follow Shastra? Talk or Pratishtha Shrutaya Vibhina. Nasav Rishir Yasha Matobinam. That Bina means many branched. It means Nasav Rishir Yasha. It means that, you know, different sages have different ideas. They call them Munis. And they'll all have a different. And so, what? Even in the movement, you know, somebody says something different from somebody else. You know, we're actually stumped sometimes. We don't know what to do. So, we need Shastra. But then it says that, you know, actually to understand Shastra we need Mahajan. So they're interchangeable. They're not one without the other. We'll fall down one way or the other. If we don't understand Shastra, we won't know what to take shelter of. If we take shelter of if we take shelter of somebody and we don't know Shastra, then, you know, we're lost again. I've lost it now. Yeah, in the 18th chapter of the second chapter, 18th verse of the second chapter of the first canto, it explains that, you know, we should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the person devotee. In that purport, it says, then all misgivings will be cleared from the heart, almost. While ever in the material world, there'll be some input from Maya, so we're always fighting against that. Almost zero. but in the purport, Prabhupada explains that there's book, Bhagavatam, and there's person, Bhagavatam. And if we want to understand this point nicely, which is most important, just read that purport. He talks about Narada Muni, how he took shelter of the persons. He was only a young boy, but because they were following book Bhagavatam, then he wasn't misled. And then from that hearing, he says he wasn't diverted at all. He was fixed in hearing that very quickly he became purified. And then he started to, this was Gyan. And then when the Bhagavatas left, after 3 or 4 months of the rainy season, he started to, you know, wander like a sannyasi, and he was going through different situations. And then he could apply the knowledge in practice, and it became realized. So this is what Karamakana Maharaj was speaking about yesterday, about learning to see the material energy in a positive way. We can't negate the material energy. It's impossible. We're living with it every day. It's a matter of seeing everything in relation to Lord Krishna. That doesn't mean to say we can do anything. You know, there are limits. We have to, you know, work within the parameters of our ashram, within the parameters of Shastra, but still, we're interfacing with the material energy. So this is where we need the association of other devotees. We've already talked about sadhu, guru and shastra, but sadhu means that we have to take shelter of those who are practicing devotional service. And the tendency is that, especially in the beginning of devotional service, we may pay more attention to following the spiritual master. You know, he's actually verified by all the authorities. You know, the others are just friends. You know, we become, familiarity breeds, what is it? Contempt. We become familiar. So we may put more emphasis on taking shelter of the spiritual master, but sometimes, you see, spiritual masters may not have the answer. How is that possible? Even the great sages in the Bhagavatam, they disagree with one another. So we may become confused that way. It's not that they're wrong, it's just that there's a different way of looking at things. So the thing is, it's a family of devotees. ISKCON is a family of devotees. We are that saying that, you know, the guru is one, don't we? He's one with Shastra, and he's one with other devotees who are also on the level of teachers or spiritual masters. And so, you know, Prabhupada said he wanted a house in which the whole world could live. And so within ISKCON, if we take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, it's not like, you know, we've actually negated all the others. Because, you know, the bona fide spiritual master, usually when they're asked to do that service, you know, why am I doing this service? Pray to Krishna. And so, you know, he may have to get information from other spiritual masters to instruct his disciple. He may send his disciple to other spiritual masters. It's like we're completely safe if we stay under the banner of ISKCON, because we have so many people to take shelter of. This is one point I wanted to make. Here, you know, Vyasadeva is setting the example that he's actually a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everybody's empowered by Krishna, of course. If we forget that, then we're in Maya also. But, you know, plenary portion means specifically empowered. Not even the Supreme Lord himself. But, as it gives in part of this particular verse, that even Vyasadeva became, due to the influence of the internal potency of the Lord, he became a little bit bewildered. He started writing about all the different shastras, how to actually make advancement, but he forgot the goal. And so, you know, Narada Muni came at that point, and he had to inquire from his spiritual master. And Narada Muni said, you know, so why are you undone, my Prabhu? He was mocking Vyasadeva. My Prabhu is calling him Master. He says, the point is you've not spoken about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, you know, people have a tendency to enjoy. So therefore, you know, you have to talk about the pastimes of the Lord. And in this way, you know, you'll put devotees on the right path again. Yeah, so, I mean, one devotee once said to me, he says, you know, he's been practicing devotional service for probably 30 years, maybe more. And he never took initiation. And he wasn't wanting to take initiation. He was, you know, revealing to me his thoughts. He said, you know, I'm 60 odd years old. You know, when you get to 60, it's difficult to listen to anybody. You know, you get set in your ways. And so he's saying, if I take the initiation, do I have to just surrender to one person? He said, you know, I know what the process of devotional service is. He says, but I know that I need to take initiation. And so what would you say in that situation? I mean, the thing is, he just carries on as he is. And he's took shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. The spiritual master's there, he'll give him general directions, and he's got the devotees. The thing is, he's actually made the connection. And that connection is like, it's an internal thing. You know, the tendency is that we try to work things out by material reasoning, how to take shelter. And that's there to some degree. We have to actually use our intelligence. But devotional service is not a material, it's not a material thing. It's a spiritual process. And the spiritual process is that, you know, Krishna's in the heart. One devotee asked Prabhupada, is he in the region of the heart, or is he in the heart? Prabhupada says, are you a medical man? This is in the heart, that's all you need to know. He's in the heart, so, you know, if the main thing is, what's Krishna? I was walking through the garden yesterday, George Addison Garden, and as I came into it, there's a little post at the far end. It said, it's at this end. There's like three or four steps. It says, Krishna looks for the pure in heart. So it's not an intellectual thing. Somehow or other, we have to, you know, devotional service is a process of faith, isn't it? Adoshada. That beginning is a little faith to associate, and then that grows by association, by hearing, until we become, you know, well fixed in devotional service. So we have to have that faith that, you know, we go as far as we can with our material logic to try and understand how to take shelter. But here, Vyasadeva showing the example that we have to do that. And when we've gone to the limits, because actually we can't understand who the spiritual master is. Is it? Can we understand somebody who's on a higher level than us? I don't think so. We don't have that realization. We don't have that knowledge. So it's like, you know, Ramananda Brahmate Bhagavanjeev Guru Krishna Prashad Paya Bhakti Lata Beej. It says, by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we get the association of the spiritual master. And by the mercy of both of them together, spiritual master and Supreme Lord, we get Krishna consciousness, we get Krishna. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya set the example of, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami. He was an advanced soul. And when he came to Lord Chaitanya, he came directly to him and he was asking advice. He says, I want you to become the servant of, who was it, Swarup Damodar. You're the Raghunath of Swarup. You're Swarup Damodar's man. So he's also saying, you know, giving that example, just to make a point. Can you say a few words about the qualification of the spiritual master? You know, Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, says, Tasmat gurum prabhajyata jignasu sreyam uttamam shabde pare nishnatam ramayam upasham shrayaha. He says, if we want to learn the transcendental science, then we have to take shelter of somebody who's completely detached from material association. And in the purport, Prabhupada says, whatever a devotee is attached to in some way materially, he cannot deliver the absolute truth properly. So one who's completely freed from material attachment, and by taking shelter of that, we can, and vayam dviti abhinivasat hashat, it says that, you know, duality is causing our difficulty. And therefore, if we want to be free from duality, then we have to take shelter of somebody who's free from duality. And in that way, we can also be fixed in in one-pointed devotional service. Devotional service is a process of association. And because we come from a background of, you know, individuals, the rugged individual is going to do it himself. Everybody, you know, this is the nature of the material world. When we come to devotional service, it might not be so easy to actually interact with others. You know, we're gradually becoming purified from that conditioning. And I've noticed that, you know, in the material world, it's like, it's what you know in order to get on. Is that right? Or it should be. It should be like that. And if it's who you know, this is wrong. Is that right? You know, if you go for an interview and, you know, the person next to you, he knows the CEO of the company, you know, you think, I'm wasting my time here, you know. It should be, you know, material vision is that it should be what I know. Do I know the job? Do I know this? Do I know so many things about it? Not who I know. Is spiritual life like that? It's who you know. If you've got close friendships, even if you know you're not so brilliant, if you've got the humility to take the shelter of other devotees and you have firm friendship with them, even though things may go wrong, then, you know, you're actually in Krishna's, you're in Krishna's family. Is there any examples of that? I think of an example now. I can't remember it, but there's one. Anyway, there are examples in the Shastras. I was trying to think of one example where Narada Muni, you may be able to remind me who it was, he saw that, you know, it was King Prachinabharishat. King Prachinabharishat. He was born in a Vaishnav family, a very strong lineage of Vaishnavs. And yet, you know, the nature of a Kshatriya, he has to engage very much in the material energy. And he was becoming bewildered. And so, you know, Narada Muni thought, you know, this is actually the son of so-and-so, he's a Vaishnav, I better go and help him out. Even Krishna does that. If you become a Vaishnav, there's at least three places in the Shastra where it says that, you know, the one who fully surrenders, then he liberates 20 generations past and future. So this is another way we're actually safe in devotional service. We can try and study, we can try and understand the process, but if we take shelter of the association of devotees, then we're also we're well situated in Krishna's vision. So these are a few points about the practicalities of, you know, the association of devotees as well as the Shastra, that it's actually a family of devotees. And when we take initiation, we're not isolating ourselves from others. That's still there. We're just making that link. And, you know, it's a place where, you know, we have imperfect senses. We tend to be illusioned. What's the other two? Make mistakes. Last one. cheating. And so, you know, how can we conclude that we made the right choice sometimes? It's all down to, you know, Krishna's mercy and the mercy of the devotees. And today is the appearance day of Shyamananda Pandit. So maybe we can say a little bit about Shyamananda Pandit. So I'm sure, is everybody aware of who Shyamananda Pandit is? He appeared 1 year after Lord Chaitanya disappeared from this world. And later in his life he became a close associate of Narottam Das Thakur and Srinivasacharya. When he was born, actually, his mother and father, it seems to be a trait in at this time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur also experienced in his parents' experience, they lost many children in the family. So before he was born, his parents, they had many attempts to have children, and they all died. And so when they had one that survived, they called him Dukhi Krishna. So that, you know, the superintendent of death would remember that this family is very unfortunate, so leave this particular child alone, you know, let him live. And so that was his name for many years. And then he had a tendency towards Shastra. He was born in a Shudra family. But he had a tendency towards Shastra, and so his father, saw to his education, he sent him to Vrindavan eventually to take shelter of Jiva Goswami. When he went to Vrindavan, he met with Raghunath Das Goswami and Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. One's a spirit, you know, Narottam Das. Raghunath Das is a spiritual master of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And another thing about family is that when they heard that he was the disciple of Hriday Chaitanya, who, you know, very exalted Vaishnava, who they knew and were related to him by devotional service, they became extremely happy, and they made all arrangements for him. And so by the way, Hriday Chaitanya was also the spiritual master or disciple of who? Gauridas Pandit. And so then they made all arrangements for Dukhi Krishna Das to take initiation from Jiva Goswami. Actually, when he was in Ambika Kalna, where he was born, he already realized who his spiritual master was. I don't know, but he understood, he told his father, I want to go to Vrindavan and I want to take shelter of my spiritual master, Jiva Goswami. And, you know, his father was like, what? You're only a young boy, how do you know a thing like that? But eventually he sent him, and they understood that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami understood that, yeah, this is his guru, and they sent him, and he started to take instructions from Jiva Goswami. And at that time also, Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Acharya, they came, and they were also in classmates of Shyamananda Pandit. And Srinivas, Jiva Goswami had a mission to fulfill. He had a mission to fulfill the desire of, what was it, Rupa Goswami. And so he trained them up nicely, and then he'd been writing many, many books. You know, Jiva Goswami was the most prolific writer of all the Goswamis. And so he was the first one to start. He was the first Sankirtan leader, is that right? And so he told them that all these books that he'd written, he said they don't have these books in the Vaishnav community in Bengal at that time. And so he instructed them to take these books by ox cart all the way from Vrindavan to Mayapur of West Bengal, which is about 1,000 kilometers. And so they, you know, they're very, this was their dakshin towards their training by Jiva Goswami. And on the way, there was one one king, they called him Virambir, King Virambir. And, you know, he was a dacoit, and he had an astrologer. This astrologer said, "Oh, I've got some good news, Your Majesty." He says, "What's that?" He says, there's a caravan coming, and it's got the most valuable thing. Nothing's come through your kingdom as valuable as what this particular caravan's bringing." And so, Virambir was ecstatic. He was enlivened. And so, he had his bandits waiting. And when they saw the caravan, it was just one ox cart. And that night, the Srinivasacharya, Shyamananda Pandit and Narottam Das, they took rest. And the King Virambir's dacoit bandits, his men, they actually stole all the... When they opened the box, they just saw a load of books. But anyway, they closed up and they took them back to the king. And, the king didn't know what to do. He said, "I thought you said it's supposed to be... most valuable thing that's ever passed through my kingdom in this caravan." So anyway, he kept the books, and when Srinivasacharya and Shyamananda and Narottam Das woke up and they found the books missing, then they were heartbroken that they couldn't fulfill the mission of the guru. Anyway, to cut a long story short, is that eventually Srinivasacharya preached to King Virambir. He became a Vaishnav, and he actually saw that these books were distributed, these Vaishnav literatures were distributed throughout his kingdom, and his kingdom became Vaishnavs, and then eventually Krishna consciousness became more prominent due to this initial Sangatan of Jiva Goswami. So we can stop there. In one respect, we shouldn't keep it in the family. We should give Krishna consciousness to everybody. But then, in another respect, when we take to Krishna consciousness, we look after the family. Has anybody got any comments or any questions?